Konnichiwa, and welcome to another episode of the Super Mercado Brothers Video Game Music Podcast.
How's it going, everybody?
How are you guys doing today?
It's good to be with you. This is a pretty interesting episode. Today's episode is called Imports. Every single song we're playing today is from a game that was not released in America.
In North America. Yes. So, for listeners in other parts of the world, like Europe or Japan or anything, when we talk about imports, we're specifically talking about games that weren't released in North America, because that's where we live.
So if you're listening to this in Japan, then these wouldn't be imports for you, because pretty much I think actually every single song we're playing today is from a game that was released only in Japan.
Right.
So I don't think we have any games that were released like only in Europe, for example. It just so happens that a lot of, you know, obviously the best music comes from Japan anyway. So.
Right, especially because it is a video game music podcast.
Exactly.
And
so yeah,
like Japanese
pretty much, yeah, like
music.
We said, every single game today we're going to play from was a Japanese-only release from a bunch of different systems. So it should be pretty fun. I think for most people that are listening to this, it's probably going to be a podcast full of tracks you've never heard before. Because there's some of them that are pretty well-known. Like that track you just heard was from Shin Onigashima. Which we've talked about, we've played some from before. That's a Koji Kondo soundtrack. It was a game on the Famicom Disk System. And that's a pretty, as far as imports go, that's a pretty well-known soundtrack.
Right.
So that might be the most well-known one of the day. But yeah, I think a lot of these you'll never have heard before. So it should be kind of a fun experience for you guys. One thing that's going to be a little bit tricky for me is trying to get through all these names. It was hard enough. This is like the ultimate test for me for my Japanese pronunciation, because not only do I have to still say all the composers, but the titles of all these games are going to be challenging too. So that'll be fun.
Well, I wish you the best of luck.
Thanks,
and
Mark.
I'm very glad that I don't sit by the computer.
Yes, definitely. All right, well, why don't we just get things started here? Like we said, we heard from Shin Onigashima, and we're going to move on to the next game today. It is called Iyu Denetsu. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. And it was composed by Falcom Sound Team JDK.
Hey, so, we've heard of them before.
Yes, we have heard of them. So let's take a listen. This is a track called Field. This is Field from Iyu Denetsu, and I didn't mention earlier, this is from the Mega Drive. So this is a Mega Drive game, which is the Japanese version of the Sega Genesis, for anyone who's not familiar. So yeah, this game came out only in Japan, and it is a Falcom Sound Team JDK soundtrack, which means that it's a Falcom-released game. But yeah, just a Mega Drive track. We have a lot of Mega Drive tracks today. There's some pretty cool Japanese-only games that came out for that system.
Right.
I really like the percussive bass sound in this
song.
Very striking, kind of biting. Similar, I guess, to like the Marble Garden Zone bass in Sonic 3, kind of.
Yeah, I would agree.
This track is definitely not as inspired melodically as any of the E stuff from this team. I mean, it's definitely different composers on this game, but they share the name, the legendary name of Falcom Sound Team JDK. It's kind of interesting how there's so many people that have been a part of Falcom Sound Team JDK, but for most people, that's just, they don't really look to see who are the specific composers.
Well, I think it's, to them, maybe, it's sort of, they like their job and they like being on a team, sort of like on a sports team. They like being identified as the team. And
I think it's
got to
be
specifically,
there's
got to
have a lot of pride going on with being a part, like working for Falcom. I mean, I think there's a lot of pride because just all across the board in video games, it's just regarded as one of the best, you know, teams that create video game music. So it might be fun.
And I think if you're identified as like a name or like a team name, it sort of, it encourages a more consistent level of quality.
I agree.
For example, like the Nintendo seal of quality or
what have you,
when it's not just about you, when you're representing a whole group of people,
mm-hmm.
there's sort of a level of pride to like live up to the expectations.
No, that's a really good point. And also I think one other thing it might do, having this team name, is that it might make, and I think this has definitely happened with Falcom, is it kind of makes all of the music and all the soundtracks a lot more consistently cohesive and have this one sound. Like when you listen, it doesn't matter the quality of the game, this sounds like Falcom. It definitely sounds like that sort of tradition. So I think that's kind of cool.
Well, because maybe they like thought about like this is what we believe makes mm-hmm. quality video game music.
Or it could have, honestly, I think it could have been just this young Yuzo Koshiro and this Miko Ishikawa who just happened to create a few really awesome soundtracks that were so influential that I think that's probably more the reason in this case, and that they wanted to keep that tradition going, you know?
Most likely.
Yeah, most likely that was kind of the case, but you know, who knows? There are lots of other teams in video games. We talked a little bit about Zentada was another one, but a few weeks ago. Yeah, interestingly enough, speaking of that, I showed Will the other day this list of, and thanks to, I can't remember who, someone left a comment on one of our previous episodes and gave us this link, actually, of this poll in Japan. It was like the top 700 video game songs of all time, and I only saw like the top 100. So these are just, you know, a poll in Japan, and it's really weird. Like, Daddy Mulk, that track we played from that TurboGrafx-16, that was like number 6 of all time. That was the same track we played, saw that video of them playing it live, Zentada.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, like, yeah, it's not what you'd expect. It's not like what I or you or me would think of like the best video game music. A lot of it was very, very interesting to see what I guess is the norm in Japan versus over here. I feel like there's certain soundtracks that are a lot more popular over there versus over here. Which is kind of interesting. So anyway, we're going to move on now to a game for the Super Famicom. So again, only released in Japan. This is a game called Rudra no Hiho. And it was a RPG game. And the composer is Ryoji Sasai. And I've never heard of this guy, but I was very, very impressed with this soundtrack. At least the tracks that I picked for today. So
yeah,
the first,
me as well. I really like this soundtrack.
Yeah, really awesome. So we're going to play the first track. This is called King of the Mountain. Is King of the Mountain from the game Rudra no Hiho.
I really like that shuffle feel, and I really like how moving the bass is. The
my favorite part was the dunka 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 dunka, that rhythmic kind of like the it's like the combination of meters there.
Also, I really like that melody instrument. I feel like that's used in, I remember in our Castlevania episode, the ones from the Game Boy Advance games use that type
of
instrument. Yeah,
I feel like that instrument is almost more popular with GBA games for
or
some
like,
reason.
Or like TurboGrafx or
maybe.
Something.
Definitely GBA. You're right about GBA. Anyway, this like we said earlier, this was composed by Ryoji Sasai. I really want to look into him and see what else he did. I think he may have done that one game we played a while back. That it was like, what was it, like Final Fantasy Mystic Legend? It was like a spin-off Final Fantasy game that wasn't considered quite as good, but the music was pretty cool. I think it was on our Boss episode, if I remember correctly.
Ooh, that was a little while ago, I don't recall.
Yeah, I think completely. In Japan it was called like Mystic Quest Legend or something like that. But anyway, I'm pretty sure this was the same guy who did that. I may be wrong about that. But anyway, I kind of want to check into this guy because I like his style. So yep, we're going to move on now to another Mega Drive game. And this is a game called Yu Yu Hakusho. These titles are interesting. Oh, and actually, that was only part of the title. The full title is Yu Yu Hakusho Makio Tutsawin. So I'm glad I got all that in there. And this was composed by a few people. This game was composed by Mitsuko Mawatari, Aki Hada, Hiro Takahashi, and TKO. I'm not sure what TKO stands for.
Technical knockout.
Thanks, Will. So someone goes by the name of TKO. So, yep, we're going to play a track. And, yeah, this is a pretty cool title, too. This title of this track is I'm Jin, Say Something If You Can. Here we go. I like that last part here, that kind of where it's panning back and forth, that delayed part.
Right.
This is from the game Yu Yu Hakusho, and this track is called I'm Jin, Say Something If You Can.
You were mentioning, while the track was playing, Carl was mentioning that the bass used in this track was reminiscent of the bass sound from Mushroom Hill Zone in Sonic & Knuckles.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I agree. It has that sort of, dripping, wet quality where,
yeah.
if the sound were to be described in vowels, like there's like a vowel change because it goes
meow, meow, meow. It's like a very common kind of synth bass sound.
Right.
But the Genesis, it's one of the signature basses that you hear a lot in the Genesis. Yeah. That's a cool track. That one is so catchy. For some reason, I found myself last night, me and Will were playing this really good game, Rayman Origins, for the 360. And I was just, the whole time, I was just singing that.
Yeah, that's very devious.
That part is so cool.
You know, it kind of reminds me of Carl's in this sort of electronic dance group called Apartment 4.
Mm-hmm.
You should check it out. It's really good music. But they have a track, ironically enough, called Dr. Robotnik's Mean Dancing Machine, I believe.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
And it kind of reminds me of that. It has this, like, similar intervals, and, like, the lead instrument sounds similar.
Yeah, I know what you're
saying. It's playing
that
sort of, like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to describe it, but
devious.
It sounds very
devious. And we also
devious.
Have another
also
song.
Have a track called
Devious.
Devious,
yeah.
But,
Yeah, so I'm always a sucker for that, those sort of devious melodies.
Yeah,
the use of the tritone, the blues.
And
scale.
Like the vibrato happening, especially at like sort of a lower octave.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, this track falls a little bit on its face near the end. It kind of gets boring. The beginning is very, very catchy, and it kind of loses the interest, in my opinion. It doesn't like. It's not like a consistent track, and we stopped it even before it looped back. So that's one thing I would say is that it's a great start, but kind of loses the momentum a little bit.
I think one thing that I like is rhythmically, like the parts that go and like it like holds on like chords, and then it'll do something a little rhythmic, and then hold on another.
Yeah,
chord.
Yeah, totally.
It's sort of an interesting rhythm, and it has sort of like an opening the box, closing the box type of sound.
You know, that's a good observation. I like that about it too. We're gonna move on now to one of me and Will's favorite soundtracks and our favorite Mega Man game. This is Rockman and Forte, And I was really happy that we were able to play more tracks on this episode, because this was a Japanese-only release. This came out for the Super Famicom only.
Yeah, we were actually very familiar with it, because when we were younger, we had the ZSNES emulator, and we would play this game all the time.
So we played this, because when we were little, we didn't really like get that it was this import. I feel like I almost played this game more than any other Mega Man game, which is ironic, because it was never released in my home country. But yeah, this is from Rockman and Forte. And the composers of this game are Toshihiko Horiyama, Naoshi Mitsuda, and Akiri Kaida. And we're going to play a really interesting, kind of devious, again, song with really kind of odd chords. And it's just, it keeps your interest, but it's definitely not as, I guess, accessible as the tracks we previously played from this game in our Mega Man episode. This is Ground Man Stage. Is Ground Man Stage from Rockman and Forte. That's a badass track.
Yeah, I there's so many infectious intervals happening with the harmony, and especially that dun, 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 dun.
The rhythms are very striking.
It's very striking.
And that dissonance, that use of dissonance on the chord.
Oh, exactly.
Dun, 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 dun.
And like there's one point where there's a specific harmony that lands on an interval, and it's just very right here. That's just gorgeous.
That is really, really pretty.
And everything blends. Like, to me, one thing that steps out to me is the balance in, like, the mixing of this is very, like, it's very balanced, and the melody comes out when it should, and everything is at an appropriate volume, and I don't know how much control they have over that.
I think they do have control. I remember that is something we kind of sung the praises of that in our Mega Man episode. I remember us talking about that same thing, how well it was mixed, quote mixed. I mean, I guess, I don't know if you'd consider this type of thing mixed, but yeah, I remember we talked about the levels, the instruments are so effective and so classy. This was a very late Super Famicom game, but it's just, it's for me, it's one of my favorite. I know when we talk about SNES and instruments, they didn't really have instruments per se. It was kind of sampled.
Well, because to me, going from that that devious sounding track, I wasn't a very large fan of the mixing of that track.
Yes.
I thought the levels were a little bit unbalanced. But again, I don't really know how much or what type of control they have over that. And part of it with this one might be the orchestration. It might have been like arranged in a more clever, thoughtful way.
I mean, whatever it was, I think it was like a perfect storm. This game, everything comes together in this way where it's just absolutely flawless. There's not anything I would change about any of the instrument sounds or the levels or anything like that. One thing really interesting is I was listening to this podcast with a pretty nice subwoofer the other day on these set of speakers with a nice subwoofer, and the amount of bass and low end on these Rockman and Forte tracks is pretty amazing. Like compared to pretty much every other track today, other than this one more modern track, you got to Rockman Forte and it was like bass in your face, boom, boom, boom. You just felt it, and I think that's kind of cool. Especially
they probably did a little overkill with the bass just so that that result would happen on, like,
I mean, it's not a bad thing because the bass in all these tracks are very masterful. Like, you could solo the bass and it would be a piece of music on its own.
Well, because I don't know anything about Japanese TVs or, like, the cable setup that they would have. Because I know in North America, we use, like, coaxial for, like, and I don't know how that...
You mean back in the day we did?
Yeah.
Yeah, like when this came out,
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. And I think that Japanese TVs are different.
Oh, really?
Or were, at least.
Oh.
And I know that the Super Famicom looked and was very different than the SNES, huh. So I don't know if it had like different cables or, because I know that sometimes in with the North American consoles, they would do that. They would exaggerate a certain sound so that it would show up on the TVs, because with the coaxial,
it
doesn't like capture the sound as well as it would with the two like stereo
RCA
inputs.
Yeah. Interesting.
But again, I don't really know too much about the technology behind that. I'm just speculating.
It's neither here nor there. So we're going to move on to a game called Ganbar Goemon 2. And this was for the Famicom. So not the Famicom Disk System, just the Famicom. And again, was released only in Japan. And this was composed, we got some competition, by Koji Murata and Tozan Yamani.
A common name.
We have another Koji in the building. But on this podcast, it's the first time we've had another one of those.
Oh, I guess so.
Yeah, and this, I don't know the name of this. All I know is that it's Track 2, so that's what I'm going to call it. This is Track 2 from Ganbar Goemon 2. Track 2 from Ganbar Goemon 2. Definitely one of the more kind of, I guess, oriental, eastern-sounding tracks we're playing today. Did you notice at the end of every note, there was like a... Will called it Mario was jumping at the end of every note.
Yeah, it almost sounds because the pitch slides up gradually, and it sounds... It's I don't know what, like, if it's a square or a like, triangle channel that
I think
they
square.
Use for, like,
it's exactly
the jumping
what they use
sound,
for the Mario
but it
jumping
sounds like
sound.
The Mario jumping sound. Compositionally, this actually reminds me a lot of Bomberman type of song.
I agree.
Because of all the little grace notes, those type of things, and how bouncy and how...
And just how Japanese, traditional Japanese it sounds like.
Yeah, and I mean, the melody is, like, going all over the place, the rhythm...
Mm-hmm.
It's
general,
very like,
goofy,
major, like,
it's kind
happy
of, it's kind of like mayhem. It's like musical mayhem, pretty much. That's what reminds me about Bomberman, is just kind of, like, crazy.
And I feel this rhythm, but, like, that type of rhythm, which, for music like Ease or whatnot, can be attributed with more, like, rocking, but with this type of music, it's more associated with, like, really making it feel bouncy, but very lively, and since it's at a faster tempo, like, energetic, and you described it as chaotic.
Yeah, chaotic. It's interesting how that, we should really call that the video game rhythm, how that rhythm can be used, like you just said, in so many different ways, in different tracks for different genres, you know, like you said, like, the use of it in Ease versus this, both very effective, and both almost the driving force of that song, but completely different effects that they create.
Hey, Carl, I think just now would be a fun time to bring this up. I saw a trailer for this new movie. What's it called? It's like Smashin' or Reckon something like this. It's about like this video game character, this fictional like arcade game villain. So it's sort of like Donkey Kong, except he's a guy. His name is like Reckon. Something with an R, his name is. But it's like, it's funny. The thing is like, they show him in like this meeting where he's like in sort of like Gamblers Anonymous or like Alcoholics Anonymous type thing. And he's talking about how he's feeling like he's tired of working really hard and no one even appreciates him for doing his job. Everyone hates him. And Bowser and Robotnik and all these video game villains are there in this movie by like Disney.
Oh my gosh. Is it a cartoon?
It's like a CG animated.
CG. Oh, how did they get... That's interesting.
It looks like it has potential to be like...
That's really interesting.
Funny.
I'll have to keep my eye out for that. Wow, that's crazy.
But yeah, I don't really know too much about it. I just saw like the trailer for it today.
I'll have to look into that. So we're going to move on now to another Mega Drive title. This is a game called Zan Yasha and Bukiyoku. I don't know how to pronounce that. It's as close as I could get. And this was composed by Matoi Sakuraba.
This might be the one that I really like.
It might be. Not sure. I think you might be thinking, we're actually going to play another track from this later.
Okay.
So you might be thinking of that one, but here is track 1. Let's take a listen. track one from Zan, Yasha, and Bukioko. And one thing that's interesting to me is some of these early Mega Drive games, they don't make use of the sampled drum sounds. They're using like the built-in like the noise channel for the drums. So it really kind of sounds like an 8-bit drum sound for this type of track.
Well, I mean, it sounds like a 16-bit drum. It just because it's not sampled. It's not what you associate with.
It's not what I associate with Sega Genesis. Yeah.
But I think another thing about 16-bit, it's not just the sounds, it's what they're able to do technically.
That's
like
true.
With the delay and the amount of things happening.
Yep, definitely.
Yeah, this is nice. It's harmonically, it's pretty cool. There's some nice things rhythmically. No offense to this track, but this is not what I was thinking of when I said that this was
Yeah, you're
one
thinking of,
favorites.
Actually from another Rudro Hohiho track, Rudro no Hiho, that we're going to play later. Which, yeah, is one of our favorites of the day. We'll get to that later. But, yeah, this soundtrack, it's very serious. It takes itself very serious, very emotional. I listened to almost all of it. We're going to play one more track from it later on in the podcast. But, yeah, there's really not a lot we need to really say about
I
that.
I feel this is one that doesn't... that the, I It's one of the ones I could actually say would work better not in a video game.
Really?
I feel if this was done up with maybe a different... set of instruments, maybe orchestral or maybe anything else. I think it because there's some.
I guess I could hear
it's
that.
It's pretty, and I think it has potential, but it's also the fact that it's not executed very well on the technology. It just sort of it sounds like a swing and a miss to me personally.
Yeah, IMO guys. All right, so we're gonna move on to a Nintendo 64 game that was obviously released only in Japan. And this is supposed to be like a life simulation game or a raising simulation is what I read online. I don't really know what that means.
I really like this one. There's a certain instrument that happens. It has like a consistent sort of rhythm that's playing.
Yeah, well,
you'll identify.
First, I should say what it is. It's from a game called Wonder Project J2, Josette of Carlo Forest. That's the name of the game.
It's probably pronounced Yoset of Carlo Forest.
Maybe. And the name of this track is Now Then, To the Skies. And after then, there's exclamation, and after skies, there's exclamation. So, just, you know. I think the way I said that was pretty clear. This was composed by Akihiko Mori. Let's take a listen. Now Then, To the Skies from Wonder Project J2.
To me, what I really like about this one is the abundance of orchestral sounding instruments, and it's orchestrated nicely. Like the use of that piccolo doing the and especially the beginning. These, I guess, they're supposed to be brass, but the it's really catchy just immediately. And right there, as I was talking, you had that French horn counter melody happening. And right here,
I like the harp sounds.
Yeah, it's really cool.
The harp sounds, a lot of these instruments sound like SNES, though. That's the thing. It doesn't really sound too impressive N64-wise. The harp sounds like SNES to me. The string sound kind of sounded like
SNES.
Well,
I mean, I think the sound of the strings kind of sound like SNES, but they don't have that sort of, like, seizure-inducing, like, vibrato
quality. They actually do a little bit. It's a little bit more subtle, but there still is that. I'm hearing it, at least. It's not...
I mean, to me, it sounds like Nintendo 64.
Yeah, it definitely sounds like an early... I think this came out in 96, so this was a very, very early 64 game. So I think it definitely sounds like an early 64 title.
Yeah, but compositionally, and again, like those like crash cymbals and stuff,
mm-hmm.
it's very catchy. I really like this one.
I wonder if this was like near the beginning of the game. It kind of strikes me as that. Something that would kind of get you motivated to continue. Yeah, that's a really cool track. That was a cool find.
Yeah, another thing that's interesting is, like, it has those orchestral, that format, like, with a piccolo and mm-hmm. all those instruments, but then with the bass is playing, mm-hmm. is not orchestral at all. It sounds more like something from, like, a Sonic game, and the chords aren't, like, classical sounding by any means.
Yeah. They're definitely, they fit well in a video game. The minor four, there's a lot of kind of video game traditions and in the
chords.
It
almost sounds more, I guess, like show tuney type of chords.
No, this is a cool find. I mean, in general, this was fun because I would say 99% of the tracks today I've never heard before, so it was brand new discoveries just going through and yeah, this is kind of cool. I mean, we never ever would have played this song in any other episode other than this. So
I think
it's kinda
what
cool.
That rhythm reminds me of, I swear, there's something in like Mario RPG. There's just a song that goes.
Yeah, I can think of a few tracks that remind me of
that
rhythm
sound. I don't know,
but for me, every track I'm thinking of is SNES. So that's interesting.
Yeah.
All right, we're gonna move on now to another Mega Drive title. This is a game called Zero Wing. And I don't know, maybe this, I think this might be a shooter. I'm not really sure. For most of these, I don't really know what the games are because, first of all, since they're, like a lot of them are in Japanese, even if, you know, usually I could just read the title and it would be clear, but it's not really true today. But yeah, this is an English title, at least, Zero Wing. This track is called New Day for Me, and it's Stage 2
but
Legrus.
But not for you.
No. Yeah, so this is Stage 2 Legrus, also known as New Day for Me. And this was composed by Tatsuya Uemura. This is New Day for Me, also known as Stage 2 Legrus, from the game Zero Wing for the Mega Drive, composed by Tatsuya Uemura. The next track we're going to play is from a game called VM Japan. And this is one of the more modern games we're playing today. What's interesting is this soundtrack has a lot more of a traditional Japanese sound, I guess you would call it. But it's interesting because it combines it with, I guess, like a techno sound. So that combination is something that's pretty cool, and I'm kind of a fan of it. There are a couple of good tracks. This is a track called Warriors. In this one, it takes a little bit of time to get into it. It takes about 30, 40 seconds for like, I guess, the main melody idea to come in. But this was actually another Falcom Sound Team JDK soundtrack, but it doesn't sound really much like any of their other games they've done. So it's kind of a departure for them. So
I do like this one.
Yeah, this is cool. This is Warriors from VM Japan. Warriors from VM Japan. That's a cool track. It's kind of weird, those voices you hear, those kind of like reverbed voices that come in at the end of those phrases.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little bit mysterious, but...
I really like the lead instrument. It goes into a very high like piccolo range,
mm-hmm.
and it's playing those grace notes.
Which are very, sorry to say this, but very Asian sounding. It's kind of what they're going for. Very traditional
sounding. I guess, but to me what it sounds more like... It sounds like they're using a... not a modulation wheel, but the pitch bend mm-hmm. wheel on like a keyboard.
Yeah. But in general, just those ornamentations definitely sound traditional Eastern to me. They don't sound... Mm-hmm. I mean, it's kind of feels like it's very at home with the rest of kind of the instruments that you're hearing.
Mm-hmm.
I think another thing that drives it home is the fact that this game is called VM Japan. For me, it's like when I see that title and it just sounds really Japanese to me.
Good points.
Okay, we're going to play another track from Iyu Denetsu, and this is called The Voice of God. The Voice of God from Iyu Denetsu. That's a really beautiful piece. The use of the delay on those initial instruments, those bell instruments, is really effective. And I like in one of the last sections that use of chromaticism, the da-na-na-na-na.
Yeah,
You're probably thinking of, like me, it kind of reminded me of the Ocarina of Time title.
Oh, yeah. Good point.
But yeah, this is. I feel like that's a kind of a rare case where the final section is almost the most interesting in a way.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's striking right away because that
yes,
low, very ambient, mysterious noise of that bass instrument, and then you have that delay happening.
The bells, yeah.
And the chords are really nice, and I really do like that chromaticism.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sorry, like, now I can't even think of the song. All that is playing in my head is...
Oh, yeah, the VM Japan. That is really catchy. Something about that track.
And now the only other thing is...
I thought you were going to say the only thing you can hear is... Which, that's not from Ocarina. I think that's from, like, Mario 3 or something.
From both. It's from Mario 3, the original Legend of Zelda, and The Legend of Zelda Ocarina
of Time.
That's
weird how they reused that from a Zelda game to Mario 3.
Well, that was just, like, the sound of a whistle. And because he did both of those games, they just thought it would be, like, mm-hmm. fun if, like, the similar-looking thing
made
the same noise just to tie together the games.
But I remember when I was a kid going crazy because I was, like... Obviously, you know, I played Mario 3 and I heard that. And then, like, I was watching someone play Zelda and I heard it. I was like, wait a second. I swear that was just a Mario. And then it finally realized, oh, he used it in both. I thought I was losing my mind.
Right. It wasn't until Ocarina where it became more like, it was like canon. Like a sound effect.
Okay.
I don't know.
So we're going to play that other track that Will was talking about that both of us really like a lot. It's also from Rudra no Hiho. And this track is called Echoes.
This is very striking and beautiful almost immediately.
Mm-hmm. Here we go.
Thank you.
Echoes from Rudra no Hiho, composed by Ryuji Sasai. This is one of me and Will's favorite tracks of the day.
What I think is so effective about it, of making it just, like, it really pulls you in immediately, is rhythmically, to me, you have the that harp line being panned back and forth, but then in addition to the chords being represented there, they're also being played on the in like a piano sounding instrument, and the combination of that happening back and forth,
and just how simple the melody is, dun 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 dun, but the use of the set second chord over the melody,
right?
Oh my gosh, so immediately striking.
Also, there's sort of the end of the case. Yeah, right. Duh, 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 duh. Mm-hmm. That's really nice. This is another one where it feels almost like they're going for a traditional orchestral sound. This compositionally sounds more traditionally orchestral, mm-hmm. where that other N64 one just sounded like the arrangement of
it. I feel
it.
Like much more than that other track you mentioned, this this is one I could hear in a movie or anything.
Oh, yeah. I was just mentioning that other one because... prove, because it was like N64, you could hear, this is a piccolo, this mm-hmm. is a French horn.
No, but this is one that, it still really fits well in a game, for sure, but it's not specifically video game sounding.
I think especially it's having just... a harp line mm-hmm. like that.
But seriously, I could hear this in a movie, I could hear this in a lot of things.
It's gorgeous.
Like what you were saying when we were listening to it, is you're like, this really deserves like a proper orchestral
treatment.
Well,
also, when you go from like having just that violin line, and then you go from having the full horn section of boom, 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 like, and that's what it really sounds like. And it does a very good job of like changing the emotional feel.
I would love to hear this orchestrated. I think that would be so powerful. I don't know if this game is very popular or not. It was, you know, like we said, it was only released in Japan, but I would love to, almost of any track that I've heard, this one would just, this warrants like a proper orchestration. It'd be so nice to hear this. So yeah, that does it for Rudra no Hiho for today. Yeah, that's one of our favorite tracks of the day. So we're going to move on to another track from Rockman and Forte. This is the ending. Here we go. Those jazzy chord changes.
Yeah, no, like what just happened earlier.
Oh my gosh, this is so cool.
To me, when the bass came in, like that was just so great.
But then after that, it's so sparse.
I love this melody right here. Like that octave melody, it really, it's good for credits. It sounds like, like it's like the end of the day. I can see a sunset. I can see like...
But listen to how sparse the bass is. Listen to how long there was like a full measure with no bass. Oh, so perfect. This is very, very similar compositionally to the intro stage that we played in our first episode for Rockman Forte. Oh my gosh, but it's really,
such a
really
traditional
beautiful.
Jazz sound, from even to like the set playing, the bass, like what the piano is playing.
The use of space.
It's so well done.
But I think the biggest takeaway from this track is the use of space and how sparse the rhythm section is. Listen, you hear like that whole measure of just drums. There's no bass.
Ooh,
but
that's
when he does play, it's super tasty, and the chord changes are just so colorful. Oh man. And also another thing I love about these Rockman and Forte songs is how long they are. It makes sense for an ending that it wouldn't be a loop, but almost all these songs are very long forms. Yeah.
To me, what I love, the intentional dissonance is one of the most beautiful things.
Mm.
And this is one of the best examples of that I can think of in video game music.
Oh my gosh. Almost every chord this keeps my interest. I'm not even remotely sick of it. I don't want to turn it down.
What I love is the chords are always jazzy, but no matter, like, they don't all sound the same. Not all the songs are like dun, 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 dun. Like, they don't all sound the same.
Yeah.
And, like, this sounds completely different from the other ones, but you can tell it's from the same game.
Oh, yeah.
Because the orchestration is at a similar, like, flawless level of consistency.
It's very different, but at the same time, the melodic style and the chord, it definitely feels like the same composer. Monsters, it feels like the same game, but it is, there's so much variety. It's crazy how they're able to tap into that, both of those, that balancing act.
Yeah, one last thing I'd like to say is that initial melody that happens is very striking. It's mm-hmm. really catchy. It's good for, like, an ending song. Mm-hmm. It almost sounds kind of like a pop song. Another thing, to me, it hints back to in the first... There's a part that goes...
Exactly. That's what I was saying from that opening stage.
Right.
It's very similar to
and
that.
And another thing that's effective about it is while it's playing that in octaves, but here with new chords in a different context, there's also... sort of a counter melody, but when it goes up, this one goes down, and they mm-hmm. meet in the middle, and it's a little bit quieter, but it does a really nice job to, like, add something happening in between both octaves of that melody that's occurring.
Yeah, just, I mean, this gets an A+. I'll say this so many times, it's the bass. There's nothing, in my opinion, there's nothing better than a super sparse bass line. There's something so zen about it. Like, it just reminds me of, one of my favorite bass players is Pino Palladino. He plays with the John Mayer Trio. It's one of the things I love about him is that he just plays almost, like, just as much as he needs, and sometimes less. Like, he'll just play, like, just one note, and it's just, like, but it's perfect. There's something about it that he's not showing off. It's just this kind of this zen quality of bass playing that this song kind of taps into that I just am a big fan of.
Yeah, well, to me, the thing that sounds zen about it, it almost sounds like they're coming up with it while it's happening. It's mm-hmm. that sort of laying back.
It's just like a jazz player. It just sounds like an authentic jazz bass
right.
player, which is so cool to capture in a video game. So now, after following up that great song, we have our track of the week, and this is from a game called Natsu no Morisami Jo, and I think the English translation is like something like Morisami Castle, like Legend of Morisami Castle, or something like
yeah,
that.
I feel this is one that I think they might... I might be mistaking, but I think this is in the new Nintendo Land that
maybe.
They announced at E3.
Oh, okay.
They have one called Someone's Castle,
mm-hmm.
and I recognize the name.
That would make
sense.
It's
a game from, like, that Koji Kondo.
Yes,
composed.
So this is a track from composed by Koji Kondo. He did the music for this game, and we're going to play a track. This track is called Morisami Jo BGM. So here we go. Morisami Jo BGM. I know that's not the official title. I think this is near the end of the game. I think this is like the last castle or something. I remember seeing a playthrough of it and just, I think this was like near the end of the game that I saw, but oh my gosh.
I think this is the first track that I ever heard where I really started to think, I really love this Koji Kondo, because before I don't think I knew too much about, like,
I love
who
those triplets.
Was.
Dun 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 dun. Sorry
right.
to interrupt you.
But the harmonies that are happening, especially at the end, the dun 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 dun, dun, dun that are happening right there, I remember just thinking how brilliantly they were placed. And I mean, they're just so gorgeous and everything about it. Like the when, like, things happen, I can't think of it now. The when it's like going down, it mm-hmm. just really builds up a lot of tension. And like you said, those and it's like a really high octave.
That's like
it's very high.
It sounds like it's out of control. I think for some reason this is one of my favorite starts of a video game piece. Just the dun 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 dun.
Also, that instrument is very signature to the Famicom, the disc system, I believe. It has a very unique sound that they weren't quite able to replicate in...
You're talking about the melody instrument.
Yeah, either the Famicom mm-hmm. or the Nintendo Entertainment System.
Yeah, it's definitely a disc system instrument. You hear that in a lot of these soundtracks.
The vibrato is mm-hmm. just very great. And a lot of these Koji Kondo ones that we're playing, like the Shin Onigashima or this track, and it helps characterize this era of his writing for me. But I mean, this track for me gets an A+. It's one of my favorite Koji Kondo songs. I just think it's
so much
amazing.
It's so active. What's cool is he's playing power chords pretty much. Like, right. You could turn this into a rock song because you just have the fifth. It's literally just, it's playing power chords, which is great.
I mean, another case that I'd like to make about why I believe that Koji Kondo is so diverse is you can look at a track like Star Fox, which sounds like a fanfare, John Williams type of march. You can look at like Mario, which is like a fun like ragtime Latin-y, something like that. And then you can look at like this, which sounds nothing like that.
Nope.
Which sounds, and a lot of this this only released in Japan Koji Kondo music has more of an Eastern sound to it. But then like go back to last week when we were playing the make a burn up it's so diverse, but it all, the thing that binds it is his acute sense of melody. And it's like, it's always interesting, it's always pleasing,
it's
always really catchy.
It's servicing the game always.
Yeah, I just think he's the best video game composer because it's perfect on every front. It improves the gameplay, it's catchy, it's pleasing, it's not annoying, and it's really not that repetitive, and it doesn't sound like he's doing the same thing for every single game.
And I think there are a lot of people who think that Koji Kondo's a one-trick pony and his music all sounds the same. I think they honestly haven't heard some of these soundtracks. They probably haven't heard this. They probably haven't heard Shin Onigashima.
It's just because there's a lot of, they think, they probably agree that Mario music sounds different than Zelda music, but those are like the two big franchises that are always held up.
Yes.
And they want to have consistent sounds. I mean, look at it's not that Yuzo Koshiro or any of those composers weren't creative. They were just trying to have a sound that flowed and like was consistent amongst the games and among all the music in within each individual game.
Exactly.
And I think that's all he was trying to do.
Yeah. So, we're going to move on now to a game called I, Senshi, Nicole. And I think this is another Famicom Disk System game. And this was composed by Konami Kokahi Club, or Konami Kokeha Club. I don't know what the Konami Kokeha Club is. I don't know.
Hopefully they weren't snorting any Kokeha.
Kokeha. But it's another team of composers, like we talked about earlier on the episode. And this is called Stage 1 and 4. Stage 1 and 4 from I, Senshi, Nicole. And Will, at one point, he was like, ooh, out of tune. And yeah, neither of us have really heard that pitch issue in an NES or Famicom Disk System track before. We hear it a lot in SNES, but this is the first time I've heard it in this system.
I think the better sounding, the better quality the system, the more like channels they have and the better sound chip they have, the more potential it is for the instruments to sound out of tune.
I see.
I think so.
Why is this track so familiar sounding? It sounds like another game. Was it not Blaster Master?
To me it sounds very reminiscent of Kid Icarus.
Kid Icarus, that's what I was thinking of.
I think that rhythm is very similar melodically, and it's using Hip Tanaka uses the do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do in some of his music.
This really sounds like a Hip Tanaka track.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking the whole time.
Yeah. So that's why you like it.
It's very striking. I like this one. It's catchy. Also, could we start the loop over again just so I could hear it a little bit?
Sure.
There was something that happened I really liked. That happens here, like the rhythm changes. Just listen. right there.
Oh, yeah.
That's another Hip Tanaka, like, sort of staple sound. I didn't notice that. From using a driving thing to just one note on the one.
That's so effective. That's a subtle little thing that I didn't even notice, but that's really cool, Will. Glad you pointed that out. Going from a dun 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 dun.
Gosh, this makes me. This is going to be a Hip Tanaka summer. I can tell.
Oh my gosh.
I'm looking forward. One thing. I haven't played the new Kid Icarus game, and I'm almost 100%
Kid Icarus Uprising
that he did not write the music for that because I don't think he's done music in a while. But
you told me that it sounds supposed to be really good.
I was hearing it. It sounded orchestral, but I don't really know too much about it. On the review that I listened to of it said that it was some of the best Nintendo music ever.
Oh my gosh.
But I mean, that's a very bold claim, so I should check that out to see if it's any good.
Holy moly. Cool. Yeah, I'll have to check that out as well.
We need to play more Kid Icarus. I know you're not the biggest fan, but on the next show and tell, I'm going to play multiple Kid Icarus.
Do it, man. Whatever floats your boat. We're going to play another track from Yu Yu Hakusho from the Mega Drive. And this is a track called Imbalanced Kiss. Now, what does that mean? Like, I know it's just a Japanese translation. Doesn't really mean anything.
I know. In Spider-Man 1, when she kisses him upside down, that could be...
I guess that is an example of an imbalanced
kiss. Rebooting
Spider-Man.
That's so stupid.
You know what? They're not going to have an upside-down kiss with Andrew Garfield.
That's going to be awful. I'm sorry. I like Andrew Garfield, but that movie's just...
It's not.
No.
It's going to be great.
No,
that's
I don't
hurts.
Want it to exist.
But that's what hurts is that it's going to be good.
I don't want it. The problem is that he's too cool. He's not. Maybe he could be a nerd, but he's too good looking. Like, yeah. I don't know.
It's a little bit sad because there's like the only superhero who has the potential to actually is supposed to be a nerd, and they're still getting someone.
What I think is funny is it's like
he's not very nerdy.
If I was looking at the casting, I would say that this would have been like the 2000 version, and the Tobey Maguire version would be now.
Interesting,
because I'd think that as the years go on, with all those movies like Watchmen or Kick-Ass or not Watchmen. I'm sorry, I'm speaking out of turn, but there was that movie with the guy from like The Office. Like last year, where it was another all those like those nerds like dressing up as like superheroes.
Was it called Super or something?
Yeah, I think it was called like Super.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
You'd think they want to make it more like believable.
Yeah.
And Tobey Maguire, it's believable that he would get beaten up. Like he's a nerd.
Yeah,
he sounds like a nerd.
From what
Andrew
I saw,
Garfield, it's like an attractive, like thin, like even if he would be a nerd, like I don't feel bad for him. Like I don't know.
Yeah,
he's
from what I
cool.
saw in the trailers, it looked like he was trying to be a little too cool. But, I mean, I'm sure the movie's going to be really good. And I do really like, what's her name from Superbad? Emma Stone.
Yeah.
She's pretty awesome.
I don't know. It feels,
isn't Dennis
feels
Leary going
to
be in it? He's like...
It feels too, like, recent of a thing to be rebooted.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
It's like, in 2 years, they'll reboot X-Men again.
Oh, Batman's around the corner, too. No, it's absolutely ridiculous. Like... Yeah, it's ridiculous. But we're going to move on now because that doesn't really have to do with video games.
Oh, I apologize.
Yeah, so yeah, Imbalanced Kiss again.
Imbalanced like commentary
imbalanced
on
conversation.
The video game music podcast.
This is a really cool track. It has really authentic jazz chord changes again, like a lot of tracks that we've played. So here we go. That is so cool. That is Imbalanced Kiss from Yu Yu Hakusho.
Is that from Mega Drive?
Yeah, Mega Drive.
That's
man.
What I've. It's so Genesis-y, oh, like that.
So funky.
Like one thing I really like about really good composers on the Genesis, or I guess Mega Drive, is when they're able to like. It's really clever because they have these instruments, and right there they were doing a thing like every rhythm is going, but like each time it would land on a note, it would be a different instrument.
Oh yeah,
and like really good Genesis writing, and I know they do that a lot in Sonic 3.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just so like, oh, it's really catchy.
This track is so incredibly funky. What I love about it is just a lot of the sliding, the with that incredibly authentic jazz chord changes, like
right, the
yeah, it's like almost every jazz standard has those chord changes. Like I think like All the Things You Are or something. It's like almost every song.
Yeah, I think it's
has
I think
those
it's
chord
that.
Changes, but they're just they're money. It's like that's why they use them so many times because it sounds so good. And to hear it with the combination of those funky bass lines and the Genesis instruments, this is just such a gem. So I'm so
also,
glad we found this.
This is another one that kind of reminded me of like Bomberman a little bit. I don't know why.
A little
some
bit.
Some of those grace notes. Like
yeah.
The
this part here,
the,
this is the chord progression we were talking about right here. Yeah. Great
also,
track.
Another thing, I like the use of space. The dun-dun-dun-dun. And then a drum fill, and then back into it,
uh-huh.
like a Sonic thing. But
mm-hmm.
I think that's like a Genesis sound. They were all going
yeah.
for like a distinct, like rocking type of sound with a jazzy influence.
Mm-hmm.
I
yep.
think that was the like the quality Genesis composers. I think that was their idea of like good modern hip video game music.
Yeah, I'm a really big fan of that soundtrack. I want to check out all those composers. That's one of my favorite things about this podcast is I find a soundtrack I've never heard and I look into those composers and I end up finding a bunch more really cool ones. So
it sounds like
cool.
like a single player Bomberman 98 like soundtrack.
93 or
oh, yeah, not 98.
98
for the TurboGrafx.
No, for Windows 98. Okay, so we're going to move on to a game called Jikuyo Powerful Pro Yaku 2. That's the title. It's a baseball game released only in Japan.
Make up your mind on what language you're speaking.
I don't know what language. I don't even know
kidding.
What I'm doing. No, yeah, this is a Japanese baseball game, and this is the main menu theme. This has a really cool slap bass, and this is actually for the Super Nintendo, or the Super Famicom, I should say. But it kind of sounds almost like N64 quality. This is composed by the Konami Sound Team. Don't know any more specifics than that, but here's main menu. I could listen to this like for about an hour. It keeps on transposing back and forth. It never feels like it's ending. It's so continuous. That bass is just ridiculously funky. The slap bass with the kind of sliding.
It sounds like the playing sounds authentic, and the mm-hmm. it's like the best sounding bass I've ever heard on a Super Nintendo.
This is such a fun track.
The Superman, the Super Nintendo.
Famicom?
Same thing. It has like Nintendo, no, but it has this very good ability to like sample instruments
mm-hmm.
With like not much like compression as opposed mm-hmm. to like the Genesis
oh my
like
gosh.
Very compressed.
Oh yeah,
and it I think it allows for like a wide range of soundtracks that have differing quality.
Yeah,
and some of them like I used to be of the impression like, oh well, the Genesis sounds a little bit better than the SNES, but the SNES sounds a little bit. I think more what it is it's a lot of the games that I personally enjoy. I don't think they had the best necessarily the most prettiest sound. Like I. a lot of Koji Kondo's work on the Super Nintendo. Compositionally, I just love everything. But
in general, Koji Kondo, that wasn't his skill.
Yeah, I'd say
that was not his skill.
I mean, it was one of his skills. Yoshi's Island.
Compared to like the people who worked on like Rockman and Forte.
Right. But like Yoshi's Island, I would say, with the exception of that game, most of his work on the Super Nintendo, I don't feel it's as pleasing to the ear as something like this.
Yeah, I agree.
And this is like such a... well done. I that's why I think my opinions have changed, because as I listen to more music from games that I don't normally play,
I agree totally. What this podcast has done for me is given me much more respect for the SNES. I mean, there's no doubt that it's superior in audio capabilities to the Genesis. I mean, if there was any doubt of that, I mean, it's so diverse, like you're saying, and it's really fun to hear a soundtrack you've never heard and just brand new sounds. I've never heard that before. It's really cool. So, yeah, that does it for the podcast. This was really good. This is a cool episode. I mean, there's no other reason we would play a track from Jukuro Powerful Pro Yakko 2. I mean, I think it's kind of cool.
But I'm glad we did, because it was kind of catchy.
Me too, yeah. A lot of these tracks are really kind of cool hidden gems that we otherwise never would have found. So I think we should do another imports at some point.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, yeah. Maybe I think with the next episode, we should try to look for some more modern things.
Okay.
And then try to get from... not just like Japan. Try to look for like a modern European only.
Definitely. That's a really good idea. I just have a feeling that we're going to get some comments from people like, oh my gosh, you did imports, but you didn't play blah, 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 and blah. Like, I'm sure there's some really huge ones that we missed.
Yeah, so instead of doing more research, we'll just wait for you guys to complain so that we can make changes.
And definitely, I think there's a lot of these games that people are like, what the heck is this game? Like, I think a lot of these are very, very obscure. But I
was actually very surprised with what I think is so funny is we did a whole TurboGrafx-16 episode, the quality of the music compositionally was just bland and boring.
Way worse than this.
And now we're doing like imports. I was expecting, they didn't even make an international release.
But there's some amazing songs.
Great. Everything we played here, I really liked.
Yeah, this is a fun episode. So next week, we're very excited. Our topic is going to be credits. And this is something that we've been just kind of thinking about and having on the back burner for a long time. And we were just waiting until it was the right time.
I wanted this to be our third episode, because we knew the first two, when we first started talking about we want to do a podcast, we planned out what our first two episodes were going to be, because those were an introduction
to our sensibilities and
to
our
us
backgrounds.
And for you getting to learn what we're like, and just for us getting used to this format of doing a podcast like this. But I really knew I wanted to do credits, but we weren't completely on the same page with how we were going to do it and what we were going to choose. But there's so much like great credits music out there. I think it's the number one, but I feel like most games, if they don't necessarily have the best music, the credits are always
good. Oh my gosh.
Good.
And there's so many games that I can think of right now that have bland, 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 but the credits
just
alone
stellar.
Is great. So,
like,
I mean...
almost every game that I like has fantastic credits music.
So,
and there's so many that I don't like that have great music.
So next week is going to be just a jam-packed episode of amazing music. So really look forward to that. We're going to really try to bring our A-game next week and try to make this a great episode. So thanks so much for listening, guys.
Feel free to continue to check out our Facebook page, Super Mercado Brothers.
Give us a like on that. We want to continue to grow our number of Facebook likes.
Same with subscriptions, iTunes. We have a lot of resources for you guys to listen to this podcast in a more efficient way that makes it less work for you. And also, we've gotten some more Twitter followers and more things are happening in that respect, but just so that you guys know that we're out there.
Yeah, and again, thank you so much for everyone's support, for listening, for commenting, for continuing to come back every week. I mean, it's cool to see this stuff growing. We're seeing our subscribers grow, and it's just a lot of fun.
Right.
We're really having a good time.
Even
with
the comments where you point out things, mistakes that we've made, or don't feel like that upsets us. We actually we learn a lot from those types of constructive feedback.
Me personally, I know Will, we've both learned a lot from the comments that you've guys have written. You've had some great ideas, some suggestions, some interesting things that you've let us know. But so we appreciate that. And if you wanted to just do us a favor, if you're really enjoying this podcast, I think that the best thing that you could probably do for us is just to share a link right on one of your friends' wall, and just share a link of our podcast, just someone you think might enjoy it. And because I feel like that's kind of how this stuff grows, is just by word of mouth. So we'd really appreciate that. But with that said,
we're gonna play you out with one of my favorites of the day.
This is a great song. This is from a soundtrack we already played. It's from Zan Yashi Enbukioku, and this is track 4. All right, have a great week, guys.
Yeah, take care, everybody.